Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, specializing in bathroom projects large and small. Photo galleries at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, October 30th. I'm Abby Larico. Things that go bump in the night. The creaks that give you the goosebumps, the screeches that startle you, and the sounds that spook you.
It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!
Aren't as scary as they seem in the movies. In fact, they're usually created with everyday objects.
How can we make this sound as believable as possible? I mean, that ultimately, that's the goal. We're trying to make sure that the audience is in the story world as deeply as possible.
St. Louis Public Radio's Marissa Ann Lewis Thompson takes us into the invisible world of Foley art. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. Governor Mike Kehoe has announced additional funding for some Missouri food aid programs. The state is transferring $10.6 million to Missouri area agencies on aging to provide meals to seniors across Missouri. $5 million will also be given to Missouri food banks using temporary assistance for needy families funding. The announcement comes as the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program is set to stop November benefits due to the ongoing federal government shutdown. More than 650,000 Missourians receive SNAP benefits. The announcement said there is no mechanism in state appropriations that would transfer to cover this funding. Kehoe said in a statement, quote, "While the state of Missouri cannot fully replace federal SNAP benefits for those who rely on them, we are working to expedite additional funding sources to assist Missouri's senior population and food banks," end quote. Head Start programs in Missouri are figuring out their next steps as the federal government shutdown has left their funding in limbo. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports.
The National Head Start Association says almost 4,000 kids could lose access to childcare if their center closes. Over 1,300 staffers could lose their jobs. Pat Holterman-Hamas is president and CEO of Youth in Need, which operates Head Start programs in the St. Louis area. She says her organization will pull from their rainy day funds to keep doors open through November, but they're not sure what happens next.
You don't want to cut off services to families and furlough staff, you know, in December, right before the holidays. But we're really stuck between a rock and a hard spot and trying to figure this out.
The federal child care program has enjoyed bipartisan support and was saved from federal funding cuts earlier this year. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
A judge has temporarily removed St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery from office. It comes weeks after the federal government put him behind bars related to witness tampering and retaliation charges. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz reports from the court hearing.
The Missouri Attorney General's office argued for a fourth time that Montgomery should be immediately removed. This time, the state's attorneys argued the sheriff is unable to fully execute the duties of his office while jailed awaiting trial. St. Louis Circuit Judge Stephen R. Omer peppered the sheriff's attorneys with questions, but ultimately agreed. Omer says the public should know the court has not made a decision to permanently remove Montgomery, but, quote, "with the sheriff in federal custody, in jail, I just don't see how it's doable, and accordingly that he's unable to perform the duties under those circumstances." Former St. Louis Police Chief John Hayden has been named as interim sheriff by presiding judge Christopher McGraw in consultation with Police Chief Robert Tracy and Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore. I'm Brian Munoz, St. Louis Public Radio.
Former Illinois Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson has been found guilty of one count of second-degree murder in the killing of Sonya Massey. Grayson, who is white, faced three counts of first-degree murder for fatally shooting Massey in her Springfield area home while responding to her 911 call about a potential prowler. Massey, who was black, was unarmed. A first-degree murder sentence could have resulted in life behind bars for Grayson. A single second-degree murder conviction has a sentencing range between 4 and 20 years. St. Louis County jail leaders say they need millions of dollars to address critical issues. St. Louis Public Radio's Acretia Wembley reports that while the upkeep and maintenance are top of mind, so is training for correctional officers.
Acting County Jail Director Jonelle Coleman is asking for at least $36 million in funding over the next 5 years for improvements. One area of need, mental health training. She says more than 80% of the county jail population has endured adverse childhood experiences and other mental health conditions. Because of this, she says jail staff needs training that goes beyond the proper use of force.
Evidence shows that trauma-informed approaches reduce critical incidents and the need for restraint or seclusion, which significantly reduces the risk of high-cost civil rights litigation and officer injury.
Coleman says it will cost thousands to provide staff with interpersonal communication training and de-escalation techniques. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis officials have awarded more than $1 million worth of grants to fund 4 community planned projects. The Neighborhood Implementation Awards will fund projects in 7 city neighborhoods: Skinker to Bolivar, West End, Downtown, Downtown West, Covenant Blue Grand Center, Jeff Vanderloo, and St. Louis Place. The projects range from turning empty lots into dog parks to adding new video signage and monuments in areas of downtown St. Louis. The grant funding for each project comes from the city's economic development sales tax, which dedicates 10% of sales tax revenue to neighborhood plan implementation. City officials met with neighborhood groups to help develop the plans for the projects. In a statement, Mayor Kara Spencer called the grants a resource to make residents' visions of their neighborhoods a reality. The Missouri Department of Transportation says the state is on pace to exceed last year's total number of highway deaths. So far this year, nearly 750 people have died on Missouri roads. MoDOT blames distracted driving as one reason for the uptick in fatalities. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports on the attempt to enforce a ban on texting while driving.
The department said in 2023 and 2024, over 100 road fatalities were due to distracted driving, and that number is likely being underreported. Missouri lawmakers passed legislation 2 years ago that added additional penalties for texting while driving. It became enforceable at the beginning of this year. Scott White is with the Missouri State Highway Patrol. He says troopers across the state have issued over 1,300 violations of this new law.
We will continue to aggressively enforce provisions of this law because distracted and inattentive driving continues to be a major contributing circumstance to many of the crashes that we investigate.
White also said in September, the patrol created a team that in part focuses on dangerous driving in the state. I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
The spot on the dial formerly occupied by community radio station KDHX will become part of a Christian broadcast network this winter. The transition of 88.1 FM to Worship One will be complete in January. Gateway Community Broadcasting, which also owns Christian stations 99.1 Joy FM and Boost 95.5, bought the frequency from the nonprofit corporation that ran KDHX in June. A group of former KDHX DJs and volunteers plans to launch their own internet station as early as December. A horror film isn't a horror film without blood-curdling screams, werewolves howling, or zombies munching on human flesh. They sound scarier than they actually are. St. Louis Public Radio's Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson shows us how those spooky sounds are brought to life through the invisible world of Foley art. And as a warning, this story does contain some startling noises.
Francois and Cecile make their way down to the laboratory hidden in the basement of the Delambre estate. It holds a secret, a molecular transporter machine. It's been activated, and to their horror, they gaze upon a vengeful human fly. But if you listen closely, not everything about that scene is as it seems.
Here on the table, we have a variety of household objects that potentially can be really useful in creating a sound effect.
That's Deirdre Matry. She's a senior lecturer in Washington University's Film and Media Studies program, and she's recreating a scene from the 1959 horror sci-fi film The Return of the Fly, starring St. Louis native and the king of horror himself, Vincent Price.
You can see that there's quite a bit going on here, right? We have the whirring of the machines, close-up of the meters, and then, of course, we have this terrible creature, and then the blood-curdling scream.
Foley art involves layering to create a soundscape. For that whirring machine you just heard, Matry took a pair of metal tongs and stirred them around an empty stainless steel frying pan, activated a pink stun gun, clicked through the settings of a clean air filter, and turned on a doggy cam. Combined, you get a whirring machine in a laboratory.
Foley art isn't the type of work that is done just instantaneously. You really do have to find the right sound.
Foley art is a subset of sound design that happens in post-production. Artists recreate and enhance sounds to picture, like footsteps, thunder, creaky doors, and heartbeats that microphones on set struggle to pick up and isolate from dialogue and ambient. These soundscapes are made from scratch using everyday items. Take this scene from the 1973 horror classic, The Exorcist.
By this sign of the holy cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit.
The sound of the possessed Reagan's neck turning is actually a Foley artist twisting an old leather wallet.
How can we make this sound as believable as possible? I mean, that ultimately, that's the goal. We're trying to make sure that the audience is in the story world as deeply as possible.
Part of that believability lies in the artist's creativity. With a little imagination, cooked butternut squash quickly becomes a zombie biting into human flesh.
Because obviously you can't recreate these moments where a zombie is actually biting into a human's neck.
In a soundproof studio at WashU's Harvey Media Center, she shows me how it's all done. There's a long table filled with props like books and clunky boots. She spotted for sound or picked shots from the scene that she wanted to Foley, like the whirring machine, the human fly, and that scream.
The blood-curdling scream, as you can see, is also really dramatic. So, Marissa Ann, I encourage you to get your most terrifying moment in your mind's eye and imagination.
Yes, that scream is coming from me.
Okay, so you ready?
I'm scared.
I am terrified.
No, there's nothing to worry about. Okay, so what we have here is we have a leader and then...
Waiting in anticipation as the scene rolled, I did my best to match the actress's intensity and imagine that human fly coming after me. And then...
That was so loud.
That was amazing.
Matry is standing in as our creature. With the same setup, she positions her microphone, locks onto the screen, and becomes that human fly.
I did sort of get into character. To become that insect. It's embarrassing and it's silly, but it's also a lot of fun, right?
Foley art has been around for nearly a century. After the 1920s silent film era, talkies or pictures with synchronized sound, including dialogue, music, and sound effects, popularized.
Jack Foley was hired by Universal Studios, and that's where the name Foley art comes from. It's named after Jack Foley, who really introduced the idea of synchronizing post-production created sound with picture.
You might not have seen Foley on screen, but you definitely heard him. He was the mastermind behind the soundscapes of the classic 1931 horror films Dracula and this notable scene from Frankenstein.
It's moving. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's moving. It's alive. Oh, it's alive. It's alive. It's alive.
Foley helps solidify those bone-chilling sounds we've all come to associate with horror films. But as advancements in technology helped give rise to the craft, Maitri worries about what those future advancements could mean for the art form.
It is deeply concerning to me that we potentially might turn to automation and artificial intelligence to design an entire scene's soundscape.
Maitri has been doing her part to keep it alive. The independent filmmaker directed the award-winning documentary Sound is Half the Picture, highlighting the world of sound design. She's also teaching her students Foley art. And at least for now, Foley artists won't be disappearing from horror films anytime soon. Oh no. Hiding from the zombies. Marissa Ann Lewis Thompson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Jonathan All edited that piece. To see photos and video of how Foley art is made, head to stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico. I'm resisting the urge to scream into the microphone right now. And from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.